Man, I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. I know our family did. I mean, the Lions were on. They played their traditional one half of football, got blown out in the second half. I mean, tradition, right? That's what it's all about. My dad showed me how to grill a tri-tip to perfection, and so I had a lot to be thankful for as well. But it was just a fun time. Our family was a little bit smaller this year. I had to go over to my parents a little bit earlier that day, but it was just the five of us kind of huddled around, but we had a great time just hanging out and just kind of enjoying the day as it was. And my prayer is that you had a great time too. I thought Mike and James did a great job in the Thanksgiving Eve video. I mean, that was phenomenal. I loved the experience just in the home. And today we're going to kind of continue on in this holiday spirit by continuing on in this sermon series that we've been doing over the last several weeks on love and what love is and what love is not. And I think this is a powerful series for a lot of reasons, for our relationships, number one. But I think it just contrasts itself so brutally to our culture today. And today we're going to take a look at another one on Paul's list, which is love tells the truth. It's just truthful. And you think about this whole concept of truth today, but God says it's still pretty important. So let's take a look at some of the things I found as I was researching this. Did you know that 20 years ago, so 2000, the Arizona Republic took a survey and poll to see how honest the people in Phoenix actually were? And then they reported these results in an article that was called Truth or Consequences. Their conclusions were the following. They found that 20% of the people in Maricopa County said that making more money is enough justification to lie. That 25% said that it was okay to lie just to make yourself look good. That 30% said that they had lied on a job application. That 46%, so this is almost one out of two, 46% said that they knew a friend who had cheated on their spouse. 51% said people are not as honest as they were 10 years ago. And nearly 60% said that it was okay to lie to, you know, save yourself some embarrassment. Today, well, wow. Today, my guess is that things are far, far worse when it comes to honesty. But even despite these results, these 20-year-ago results, 87% of the people at that time were still saying that honesty was still the best policy. Are they still saying that today? I think so, because I don't think we like being lied to the way we have been. But either way, what are our actions actually saying? They're saying that today we're basically a pretty dishonest country. Right? We're a pretty dishonest society. Any questions, I refer you to the media and basically any politicians when they open their mouths. I mean, honestly. More recently, about 10 years ago, a book came out entitled The Day America Told the Truth. In a national survey, they paid people $10 to tell the truth about the most intimate details of their lives. And it was entitled A Nation of Liars. A new survey showed that America was adrift, and they asked, whom have you regularly lied to? I mean, they were paid $10. So 86% of the people said that they had lied to their parents. 75% said to friends. 61% lied to their boss. 59% to the children. 73% to their brothers or sisters. 69% to lovers. Is it any wonder then that we have so many fragmenting relationships in our world today? And after witnessing the last several years, do you suppose things again have gotten better or have they gotten worse? Feels like we've jumped off a cliff when it's come to the truth. Everybody's kind of come up with a version of the truth, but you know what? There's still actually the truth thing, something that actually happened and something that actually didn't. Now, let me confront that reality of our world today with what God actually says. And he says this, you have to have honesty in a relationship for it to hold together. And I think objectively, we get that with the relationships in our life. The Bible says that love rejoices in the truth. It desires it. It wants it. Dare I say it needs it? In Ephesians 4:15, it says, let our lives speak lovingly. Express the truth in all things. Speaking truly, dealing truly, living truly. See, dishonesty, in other words, destroys relationships. Always. And so today we're going to take a look at how do you tell the truth to others? Because apparently it's a very difficult thing in our world today. Because not only cannot dishonesty destroy, but here's the other thing. Truth also can destroy a relationship if it's not shared in the right way as well. So God gives us three qualifiers in his word on how it is that we can share the truth with our world around us. And so one of the things that God says is tell the truth consistently. For example, what if you came home to your husband or wife, smiled at them and said, "Honey, I'm going to be faithful to you 6 days a week. What do you think about that? That's pretty awesome, isn't it?" Well, my guess is that probably wouldn't go so well for you. Why? Because if you're not faithful all the time, here's the deal, you're not faithful at all. The same is true with honesty, though, isn't it? If you don't have integrity all the time, you don't have integrity. If you lie 10% of the time, you're still a liar, right? Here's an interesting fact. In both the Arizona Republic survey and the Nation of Liars survey, they said that the number one thing that people wanted in their relationships today is honesty. The number one characteristic they wanted from a friend or a marriage partner was honesty. And that makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, do you like to be lied to? No. Do you like to when people tell you half-truths? No. And that's why I have people tell me we're not making any progress in our marriage. Why? What's the problem, they ask? Well, duh, the problem is that the truth is not being told, the full truth. And so we're not getting to the actual issues. In Proverbs 13:17, it says, "Reliable communication permits progress." In other words, all good relationships are built on trust. And trust building only comes through truth telling. Trust and truth, they go together. The way you build trust then is always by telling the truth. Proverbs 11:3, it says, "People who can't be trusted are destroyed by their own dishonesty." Now, does anyone remember the show To Tell the Truth? I mean, I barely remember it, but it had Kitty Carlisle, Bennett Cerf, Bill Cullen, all those different people. Anyways, the object of the show was that the better liar you were, the more money you made. But God shouts into that insanity. No, no. That is so entirely wrong, he says. For the better you tell the truth, the more profitable your life is going to be. It's actually good business to tell the truth, right? For return customers, because in the long run, the lies are going to be found out. It's just good business. People who can't be trusted are destroyed by their own dishonesty. Lies sabotage success. I mean, look at the election. Truth stands the test of time, but lies are soon exposed. And so ask yourself, how honest are you at work? Here are the top 10 lies of American businesses today. Number one, the check is in the mail. Number two, your money will be cheerfully refunded. Number three, give me your number and the doctor will call you right back. Four, your table will be ready in 5 minutes. Five, the offer is limited to the first 100 callers. Six, we service what we sell. Seven, one size fits all. Eight, open wide, it won't hurt a bit. And nine, this used car is in mint condition. And number 10, I'm from the IRS and I'm here to help you. See, unfortunately, we don't trust many people anymore. In the survey of the Arizona Republic 20 years ago again, they asked people, what professions do you trust the most? And basically they said, we don't trust anybody, right? I mean, who do you think are the most trusted professions that they mentioned? Well, pastors came in first. That was pretty cool, right? But who came in least? Advertisers. Only 10% said that they could trust what they said. Second from the bottom, just above advertisers, was auto mechanics. Lawyers did slightly better, third from the bottom. 35% of the people in Phoenix think news reporters are honest, but they still rated them below fictional TV characters. Doctors rated only 3% higher than politicians, with 63% of the population believing that they could be trusted. I don't even know if those numbers are even close to being the same today. And remember, this study was done 20 years ago. But if you're a Christian and you're in any of these professions, you've had to work doubly hard during this time to overcome an automatic bias against what you say. And to succeed, you've had to tell the truth consistently over and over and over again to build that trust, to build that reputation. But you got to tell the truth consistently. That's what God says. To be known as a truth teller in this world is so different, but so important, God says. Second thing he says, you must tell the truth completely. So don't play games. Be straightforward. No half-truths. I mean, telling a half-truth implies a whole lie, doesn't it? And there are always two ways that you can lie, not meaning what you say and also not saying what you mean. In other words, holding it back, withdrawing, concealing things. But if you keep telling white lies, eventually you're going to go colorblind, aren't you? So you need to tell the truth consistently and completely. In Proverbs 10:10, it says, someone who holds back the truth causes trouble. What kind of trouble? Well, Scripture says that too. Things like bitterness, resentment, mistrust, doubt. Do you want those in your relationship? No. But most of all, what holding back the truth causes is superficiality in our relationships. Why? Because you can't get close to people who don't tell you the truth. I read a book one time called Games Christians Play, about the games people play today to keep people from, you know, getting too close to them. Why do we hold back the truth? Because here's the answer, because we're cowards. We want to avoid conflict at all costs. I mean, I think if I tell the truth, they're going to blow up. And so today, the operating word today is don't rock the boat in this relationship. Keep the peace at any price. Hear me say, it doesn't work that way. It just doesn't. In Proverbs 28:23, it says, in the end, people appreciate frankness more than flattery. In other words, problems are prolonged by a failure to be frank. So don't beat around the bush. But usually when you're frank with somebody, you are telling the truth, aren't you? And there's a lot of unpleasantness up front when you're doing that, and it's difficult and it's painful at times to do those kind of things. There's anger and there's frightening feelings that surface, and none of us like that, right? In theory, then, we all agree that honesty is the best policy, but in practice, when you're in this situation, you think, well, I don't know, maybe this isn't the best time to be honest because we don't like what's happening. And I'll tell you, we've always got an excuse, don't we? If I told my parents the truth, they'd kick me out of the house. If I told my boss the truth about that project, man, he'd just fire me. If I told my husband how I really feel about a relationship, he'd blow up. If I told my wife about my frustrations about our love life, she'd accuse me of a one-track mind. If I told my pastor what I really thought about his sermons, whoa, we go too far. Anyway, avoidance only creates more problems. It makes it deeper, makes it worse. You're just postponing the inevitable when you don't tell people the truth. And you're hurting yourself. And you're hurting that relationship. So how do you keep marriages out of court? God's answer, you tell the truth. I mean, that's the secret of keeping marriages out of court. Tell the truth, tell the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God. Do that in your marriage and keep your marriages out of court. But we got to get to a place where we're telling the truth continually to be trusted. We must tell the truth completely and not beat around the bush. And we've got to stop giving all these half-truths that we're doing. We need to start being honest and open with people. Because an honest answer is the sign of a good friendship. But being frank does not mean being brutal with the truth. God says there's a third quality then that you absolutely need, and it's this. Tell the truth lovingly. In Ephesians 4:15, it says, speak the truth in a spirit of love, not out of anger or resentment or hate or pressure, but out of love. So don't use the truth as a club. I mean, think of the person that you'd most like to help change. And there's two facts about helping people change. First one is this. People change easier and faster when the truth is wrapped up in love. And two, truth without love will be resisted. Then it's just about manipulation, isn't it? Seeing as an attack against which we must defend ourselves over and over. And most marriages don't tell you the truth because they play the role of attacker and defender so much that they lost sight of the actual problem. They change the conversation from what it was originally about to something totally different. Does that sound vaguely familiar to anybody? So once again, the original issue is forgotten. And we get so involved in attacking and defending that the dripping faucet or whatever what the problem was is no longer remembered or important. See, truth becomes lost in the conversation between the attacker and defender. Think politics. People use attacking and defending to avoid saying what they truly mean and or avoiding hearing what someone else means and wants them to hear. The alternative to attacking and defending is to speak the truth in love. But how do we know if we're doing that? Well, you ask yourself, for whose benefit am I saying these things? For whose benefit am I about to share this particular truth? Is it for my benefit so that I can put them down, you know, get some frustration off my chest, blow up, have this cathartic experience and feel good? Or am I doing it for their benefit? Am I sharing the truth for their benefit? I mean, that's the question. That's speaking the truth in love. In Ephesians 4:29, it actually says this: speak only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, so that it may benefit, actually benefit those who are listening. So if you're doing it for their benefit, it's in love. That's what God says. If you're doing it for your benefit, it's not. So speak only what is helpful. I mean, sometimes the truth does hurt, but in the long run, it's always helpful. That's what God says. But why are you doing it? Maybe the truth, again, but if it's not helpful, you got to stop sharing it, right? You only share what's helpful. That's what Paul says. That's what God says. Building other up to their need. If you're not doing it with the spirit of love, then here's godly advice. Stop doing it. So let me ask you this. Who is it that you're failing to be honest with right now? I mean, where are you holding back the truth? And you know it's hurting you, and you know it. It hurts, and there's a problem, but you're just not dealing with it. You're not being honest. You're not being truthful. You're not coming forward with what you know needs to be said. And if that describes you at all, please hear me say this. Quit being a coward and actually deal with it. What are you pretending not to know? I mean, there's a problem in your relationship, and you're pretending not to know it. Now, you may ask, well, why is God such a stickler about this truth thing? Because he is the truth. I mean, God is truth. That's what the Bible said. He always tells the truth. And if you claim to be a believer in Jesus Christ, if you claim to follow Christ, you got to tell the truth. It's not an optional thing. Jesus says, I am the truth. And if you're going to be like Christ, you've got to tell the truth too. And God says there are great benefits in the long run to doing so. But if the truth be told, some of you have been living a lie now for a while. You may fool me, you may fool your family, everyone around you, you may even fool yourself, but God knows you've been living a lie. And if that's true of you, my prayer today is that you would repent, because if you do, you can be forgiven today of all those things, and you can be given a freedom and a power to truly start over. You can begin to experience the promise of a life set free, no longer in bondage to those things that controlled you in the past. That's why Jesus said, know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And that's the kind of life I want to live. And that's the kind of life that God wants you to live, free, where you're free from anxiety and tension and stress that comes from faking it, free. Now, you may need to get a moderator to come in and help you in a relationship here or there, or get some counseling, that's fine. But it starts with telling the truth. And God says he shares that hard truth with us today because he loves you. Guys, I hope you hear that. We live in a nation, we live in a culture right now where lying seems like it's coming like breathing, you know, and the actual truth seems to be so unimportant in so many different areas. But God sees everything, doesn't he? And he sees your heart. And what he shared with us in his word is that when we're honest with those around us, it benefits those relationships. And we're honest at work, it benefits us in the long run with those people that we work with, because they come to trust us. And when we're honest with our neighbors, in the long run, it comes to payback dividends as well, because they know that they can trust us. Think about how many people you actually know that you can trust in this world. My prayer today is that you would be people that other people would trust. Because you're honest, because you tell the truth always, because you're consistent in what you do, and that you do that so that when you start talking about Jesus, their ears are open. Guys, go with that encouragement today and go with this prayer. God, we love you so much, and we thank you for Jesus, and we thank you for this series as it reminds us on what love actually looks like. I think we get lost in that as we deal with society and we look at how broken it is, but you call us to be better. You call us to follow you. You call us to do things that are actually good for us in our relationships. And so we pray, Lord, help us here. And then help us remember this is the way you love us. I love the fact, just talking about truth today, that we never have to second guess your word. We never have to wonder if you really love us. We never have to wonder if forgiveness is always there because of Jesus. We never have to wonder that when we die, if we go to heaven, because you have always been truthful. And you have been consistent all the way from the beginning of time to the end. And so in your word, we trust. And in this world that we've just lost sight of almost all truth, it seems, you are a truth on which we can stand and we can count on in this life, a truth that makes our lives better, a truth that gives us victory over heaven and hell, a truth that reminds us that you are with us, that you love us, that we're forgiven. And because of those things, that there's always hope. There's always hope in this world of ours. So, Father, be with us today. Surround us with this love, and give us the strength and the power to love others the way you love us. And that's our prayer today. And we pray that in the name of Jesus. Guys, go with this blessing. May our Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and be gracious always unto you. And may he look upon you now with his favor and grant you forever his peace. And guys, once again, go in that peace today and serve your Lord always with joy. Amen. Amen. Guys, I'll see you next week. Have a great week.